Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to learn about the music industry from the inside out. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Yeah, y'all know what it is.
Get ready to hear today's newest stars of hip hop, rock, pop, R&B, gospel, and more.
That's it.
Yes, yes, yes. It's that time again right here on Hip Hop National Radio. We're about to do it all again right here tonight. Tonight we're talking about the marriage between the recording and the audio mix. And boy, do I have a panel in with me tonight. So we're getting ready to get down. But y'all know what time it is. Before we get into it too deep, let's go ahead and cover the show as we always do right here on Hip Hop National Radio. Lord, thank you for giving us this platform that we can express ourselves collectively as a community. Lord, we ask that you dismiss all technical difficulties that often sometimes interrupt our flow in which we're trying to communicate with one another. Lord, we also ask that you bless every ear and every mind who's tuned in to the program and that they can get a blessing from it so that they can bless others. We ask you that in Jesus' name as we pray. Amen. All right, guys. Tonight, the marriage between the recording and the audio mix. I'm about to get everybody's take on it. I'm going to go around the panel, and I want to hear the importance of it. So we're going to start with, I'm going to welcome Ken. Ken's first time to the show. Ken Ross, welcome to Hip Hop National. Ken, please tell everybody what it is that you do, sir, and how you what's your contribution to tonight's topic, and where you calling in from, by the way.
Oh yes, I'm calling in from Las Vegas, Sin City. Not really
right.
Sin City.
And what's your contribution to tonight's topic, Ken? And tell us what it is. First, tell us what it is that you do, and what's your contribution to tonight's topic.
Yes, I'm a recording artist slash performer and writer as well and everything. And my contribution towards the mixed out and everything is just like a chef when he's doing his art form as far as cooking. You got to have that right type of seasoning, just like we discussed yesterday, to put it on the right type of for the sound for everybody to enjoy, because once those certain vibes hit your soul and everything, it's going to send out a certain aura that'll turn a person on. And once you get that aura inside of a person, then, you know, that's you got to do what the people like to hear and everything.
I appreciate that, man. Thanks for your being brief. And with your opening statement, we're going to go around the panel and invite the others in. Bionic, welcome to Hip Hop National. Tell us where you're calling in from, what it is that you do, sir.
I'm calling in from Durham, North Carolina. I am a jack of all trades. Basically, if it needs to be done, 9 times out of 10, I do it. So from the production to engineering to mastering, singing, rapping, whatever needs to be done to get the record done, I do.
All right. The marriage between the recording and the audio mix. What's your thoughts on that tonight?
The marriage between the recording and the mix is just as important as the song itself. Point blank, period.
All right. All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. We got Frank on deck with us. Frank?
Hey, what's happening tonight, Hip Hop National Radio? This is your boy Frankie D calling in. Giving my spiel on what I do as far as concerning the marriage of the recording and the mix. You ready for some knowledge? I'm ready to throw it out there for you. Are we ready, or are we just going around the panel?
We're going around the panel giving your thoughts on it. So what's your thoughts on tonight's topic as we lay it out?
The importance, my spin on the importance of it is hand in hand. This is the second part of the recording process as far as getting your master done. it's vital to understand what the mix is compared to the recording, because they're two different sources that you're actually listening to. So I think as we get a little deeper and we go around the panel, I'll expound a little bit more on that.
All right. Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate that. I'm going to open up Brother Raw Dog's, my ace in the hole right here, Brother Raw Dog. Raw Dog,
hey.
Welcome to Hip Hop Nation. What's up, brother?
How are you,
tell
Poetic,
them where you calling
and everybody?
Where you calling
I'm
in?
I'm calling in from Washington State. I'm up here in Federal Way, which is right outside of Seattle, Pacific Northwest. So, you know, hey, I want to say this. Hey, Poetic had a birthday. That has nothing to do with the subject. So, hey, remember that? It was Wednesday. So if you get a chance to holler at him, wish him a happy birthday. Now, the marriage between the recording and the mix. Well, the recording is one interpretation of everything, the music, the musicians, the artists, and what have you. And the mix is an interpretation that is given to the different instruments, to the vocal, and how they're blended together. And without, you know, understanding and getting a good vibe, you know, and being one that produces and mixes and masters, you know, if you don't get a good interpretation or you know of it, then what happens is that you find that it's hard for you to please your clients. But we'll get into that even deeper, you know. But hey, I'm happy to be here this evening. I think we have a lot of good qualified people. I heard Bionic's mix. We played it on the radio. I loved it. He's very talented. So let's get into it.
All right. Then we're gonna go to Brother Hatch. Brother Hatch, I know you got something to add to this topic tonight. You know.
Hey.
Where you calling
God bless
from,
everybody. I'm calling in from Vining, New Jersey, and I just want to say hello to all the panel. God bless, and happy birthday to you, brother. And it's good to be back on Hip Hop National Radio. Concerning the topic tonight, I just want to say recording and audio mixing. That's like bread and butter. They go together. You can't have one without the other. And as we calling it as a marriage and a unity, definitely you can say just like a good marriage, it's going to take good communication. And I leave it from there to take it to the next step.
Awesome. Man, everybody went brief on me tonight, and I loved it. I got to be honest with you guys, because that's how it makes the weekend flow real good through the program. Okay, we're going to go ahead and ask this first question. And you guys kind of highlighted a little bit on it, but let's look at it from a different angle. How vital is the mixing to the recording project? Why is it necessary before release? I'm going to open up the floor. I'm going to start it off with Brother Bionic, and I'll say Bionic. Bionic, you now have the floor.
It's extremely vital. Reason being is a lot of guys wonder why certain people aren't gravitating to their song. They're saying, oh, man, my song hot, but these folk hating. Well, in the grand scheme of things, is your song hot because you have a vested interest in it as the fact that, you know, you wrote it, you know, you spent your time and to falling in love with that record. But at the same time, a lot of guys wind up being blind to what it sounds like. Your homeboys are going to love your stuff regardless. But when it comes down to it, the masses may not be able to tell you what the problem is. They'll just tell you it doesn't sound right. And so what winds up happening is a lot of guys have to go out. You have to go out and get your stuff mixed. There's a lot of, you know, fly-by-night and bootleg engineers out here or producers that are trying to fill that void or fill that gap because they're afraid of somebody else touching their stuff, or they don't want their beat tracked out, or whatever the case may be. But when it comes down to it, you know, mixing the project or mixing the song is not just pulling up one EQ set and then a whole bunch of presets and saying, okay, this joint is done. Nah, it's actually combing through with a fine-tooth comb and picking out all the small pieces that are wrong, fixing them, correcting them, because a lot of small issues here and there can make a big difference overall. And until a lot of these guys step out of their way and understand that in itself and really hear what's going on, they'll never be able to get over that hump of trying to figure out why their stuff isn't hitting like their favorite record on the radio.
All right. I may have overlooked somebody. Let me make sure. I believe this is Charlie VN. Charlie VN is important. When you do come check in, just press the number 1, but I believe this is you. 832-504. Is this Charlie V? Okay. My mistake, guys. Just wanted to make sure. Anyway, nice segue, man. I really appreciate what you just said there, Bonnie. Now I'm going to go to Ken. Ken, welcome. Ken, go ahead. What's your thoughts based on what you heard Bonnie say?
Yes, I agree with him and everything. It's fine too, because that's what's really going to make that sound quality. Because between going to the studio and having that clarity sound mixed down, and then you go out there and you do it live, and I know you've been to a lot of concerts and everything, and you'll say, that artist didn't sound like his record, you know. And that comes from a good mix down in the studio, because you have your studio style and then you have your live performance style and everything, because, you know, the artist himself, he has to develop to get himself, you know, sometimes the mix can be so good from the studio that the artist has to practice to be as good as himself. If that makes sense.
So he has to practice to live up to it. That's what you're saying.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. All right. And Frank.
Yes, sir. Well, let's start from the beginning. You know, we're talking about the marriage between the recording and the mix, why it's so vital. The first thing, yeah, to look at the recording side is that you want to make sure we have good levels on the input, on the material, the sound that you want to be heard during the mix. So it's very important that you start off with a good signal or a good level on your mix, as far on your recording, as far as the input, the sounds that's going into the tracks, whether it be vocals, instrumentations, drum tracks, etc. Secondly, once you have a good recording, when you got all these levels where they're at good levels, where you can hear what everyone did and every sound, every nuance in the sound, the second part is, when you take it to the mix stage, is to put these sounds into perspective where they should be placed in the musical spectrum. And what I mean by that is that every sound has its own frequency where it can be heard in its natural state. And what you're trying to reproduce is that feel or that sound or that image of a live band, orchestra, knowing how it's placed in each part. And what I mean by that is, when you understand what frequencies and what sounds you're dealing with, each sound has its own individual, independent level where you can hear it clearly, where it's not bleeding, blending, or crossfading into any other sound. And the mix is important, because before you can take it to the final two stages, as far as the editing and the mastering phase, it's vital that the perspective, the feel that you want the people to hear, is in a state where the artistry of that sound is heard clearly. And it has to be heard clearly, because if you have a muddy or subpar mix, you're going to end up in the next two phases afterwards where your project is really not going to be what we call industry standard.
Oh, okay. All right. I know Raw Dog can follow up on that one. Raw Dog.
Well, I'm going to say this. Yeah, he's correct on making sure that, you know, your lines are good, that you're not over driving the different channels with the instrumentation, that, you know, that the levels are in common, okay? But, you know, there are tricks to this when a recording is a recording. And to me, that's, you know, like a newborn baby, you know, without an education, without the different things that are going to happen at different times during that one recording. You know, the funny part, hip-hop has, the music side of hip-hop is getting better because what's happening, you're getting the nuances. You're getting things that come in and leave at certain times in the musical swing. So when a person listens to the master, the final copy, they hear different things each time they listen to the song. You know, they might hear someone in the background, a word that they didn't pick up the first time. That keeps the interest. That keeps the depth of the recording. And that's what people gravitate towards when they talk about, wow, that was really good, you know, because it's not something you listen to once and it's the same every time you hear it. You know, a lot of tricks that producers do, and that was one of them. I guess I shouldn't have gave that one away. But there are things that you add and there are things that you take out at certain points within a song that give it different elements. And, you know, it's like I'll listen to a song and I'll go, okay. And then you'll go, wow, I heard a guitar doing a riff. But it was so behind. You know, in mixing, you have left, you have right. Now you have the four corners. You have front, you have back, left and right. And you can even go further with your mixing to like 5.1, which is, you know, you have your front, your two front sides and your rear. And if you want to go real deep, you got 7.1 where you've got a subwoofer and you've got the front, the two front left and right. And you have the front speaker and the two rear speakers. So when you start talking about mixing, you're talking about what they qualified in the beginning as high fidelity, okay, which was stereo. Now the elements and the stereos that you can purchase now, you have different ways of mixing your music so that it seems like it's coming at you and going away. And so what you have to understand is that the person mixing the music is generally not the beginner. Okay, let's just say that. These are tricks you learn down the line, you know. You don't realize it in the beginning, and that's not a fault. It's just the desire to get better that you start to achieve the knowledge that, you know, just because the singer sang one lead track doesn't mean in your mix down that that's all just one track that you're mixing down of that same singer's voice. You know, now that's one trick. I'm going to give away one trick tonight, and I'm not giving away anymore. But in recording a lead vocalist on one track, when you get ready to mix it down, duplicate those tracks. So you have three tracks of the same lead vocalist. Reduce two of them down. Send one left. Send one right. Keep one in the middle. And you'll have a more distinguishable lead vocalist that it will not fade and that everyone will be able to understand. Even if you don't have the best equipment, they'll still be able to understand it. The speech, the S's, the B's, they'll be clear. And see, the catch to this is then, well, hey, to even go more pro, there are refinements that you'll add to that center vocalist channel. So, now, that's one secret. That's about mixing. I'm going to let somebody else talk now.
Mr. Hatch?
Hey, hey, hey. It's all sounded good to me. Rodon said he keep his secrets, but he give him more of the lesson than we should be talking about tonight.
The lesson is good, guys. I'll be honest with you. When you guys give those gigs, I'm gonna tell you something. This is just my take. When you give those lessons, you're giving something back to the community, which is these young kids that have a desire to be in this business, and they find themselves tuning in to, and listening to you guys and changing their lifestyle. Say, okay, that's what I need to do, and it gives them something to focus on. So
right.
Even though you gave a little bit away, you probably helped somebody who can help somebody.
I'm going to start off saying like this, the more you give, the more you receive. So I'm not going to hold back because I think that's one of the bad things that I experienced growing up in the music business is that no one wanted to share after they got it. They got a little selfish with it.
But moving on, I
just like to say I hope if I'm not getting ahead of myself because this is an interesting topic, and I just like to take it to four stages, just to break it down into the four stages, so that. Like I said, the young people out there that's learning and interesting, they know how to segregate the four stages. So first, of course, we're talking about the recording, and we're talking about the marriage to the mixing, and then as Frankie D said, after the mixing, you have two more stages we need to go to, and that's going to be editing, and finally, we're going to master it. I think the problem that we have, especially in hip-hop music, is that I think the brother mentioned a minute ago, is that we get caught up into our own sounds and what we want to hear and what we like, and we forget the technical source of the recording. And you hear a lot of bad mixes out there because the guy recorded with the bass booming because he liked a lot of bass, and then he found out at the end of the stage when he wanted to take that bass out, he don't spoil the dinner, as you say. I'll just break it down real quick like this. Just look at the recording as that's the technical part. The first thing I say, if you want to be a recording engineer, the best thing that I can suggest is make sure you get a hearing test. Because it's very important that you can hear what you're recording. Just think of a recording. I just put in the scenario of fixing a meal. Think of the recording as that's going to be your meat, your vegetables, your starch, whatever you're going to prepare for the meal. That's your recording. And like Raw Dog and Frankie D said, you're now breaking that down into frequencies, balance, volume, and EQ. And we were talking last week in the session when we were saying that when you record, everything should be a flat response. You don't start off recording putting your delay and your chorus and your reverb and all that stuff in your recording. You leave your recording as flat and as straight and as empty as possible. The main thing that you just want to get is a good recording on the volume and the balance and the EQ. Now, when we go on into the mixing, think of the mixing as you done cook your meal for the day. You got your steak, your rice looking good, your potatoes, your macaroni and cheese. Those are different instruments, of course. And now when you think about mixing, you're thinking about your seasoning. So when you get into your mixing part, that's more of your creational part. That's more of your artistic part of your creation of what you want to do with the recording. So think of that as you know, now you putting the salt and the pepper and the right spices and the sauce on it. You see what I'm saying? You know, I'm just breaking it down in layman terms.
Hey, dude, you're making me hungry.
Well, that's what happens when you get a good recording. You get hungry and you want to season it up and you want to eat it. So, you know, I'll leave it right there and let the man take over. You know, and I hope I gave him more clarity.
All right, let's bring Ken Ross in because he kind of opened his statement with the same thing you just said, and then we're gonna go take a break. Ken, you said it's like a chef in the kitchen.
Absolutely.
Did he just paint the picture of
the dinner
that's being cooked in the recording studio?
Amen. He put all the seasoning in the top. You know? And he is right about, you know, about getting a hearing audiogram, which they call it, a good hearing check, because you got some guys that are like tone deaf. He is 100% right on that.
Okay. And now I'm going to ask you guys, and it's going to sound kind of may not sound like a smart question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. EQ, equalization. What is it, and what is its contribution to the mix, and how do they pick out the levels for the EQ? Is that the main thing in the mix?
No.
Yeah, I know.
No.
Well, okay.
No.
Okay.
Am I live? Here we go. Reason why, you know. Okay. Reason why that's, you know, not, you don't want to emphasize so much on that aspect, but what's important as far as the EQ and understanding it, it goes back to the statement I made earlier about understanding frequencies and where the sounds are clearly heard and where you can distinguish each instrument from the other one. What that means is if I have a bass guitar and understand that a bass guitar's frequency is heard around 20 hertz, 20 hertz, then anything below that you ain't going to hear. And that can cause what we call noise or mud or, you know, things that's unwanted that you don't want to hear. So understand if you're dealing with a soprano singer, she's on the high side. You're not going to have a lot of bass in her voice because you want to hear her natural phase. You want to emphasize that. If you have a guitar which is in the middle ranges, you want to understand that you don't want it to cross fade into the lower frequencies where the bass is at or where the piano is at or where a hi-hat is at or where a drum or a background vocal is. So the EQ is important to understand because you're dealing with frequencies and hertz. And when you understand these processes, then you can actually blend these instruments together where they're heard distinctively. And that's why EQ is vital to your mix, but at sometimes not necessarily, depending on the recording side, how well you recorded it, how well the input, the people that's the sounds that's going on to your tracks are recorded. Because sometimes you can have an excellent recording where you don't want to add anything to it. You don't want to add no mid-range, no treble, no bass, no mid-range. So that's why it's important to understand what the EQ does. EQ is just one part of it. It can enhance the sound if it's weak. Say you have a bass track that really is not hitting hard enough. You can enhance that by bringing up the bass, the low frequencies. If the guitar's not screaming loud enough, then because you too much in the middle range, you can enhance it by bringing up your treble and your high frequencies. So EQ is vital because you're basically painting a picture. You're trying to get a blend of sounds where each sound is distinctly heard in their perspective. And that's why it's vital. You know, it is really not for the amateur, because the amateur will just put in, like Hat said, what they like to hear. If I take a mix and put it in my car and they like bass and all I'm going to hear is bass and I can't hear anything else, then they don't understand bass management. They don't understand EQ. So So it's vital that when you're listening to music, to understand what frequency range that they're naturally heard in, so that the human ear can appreciate and hear it in the form that you're trying to create. Because this is, remember, mixing is the fun part of the whole process. This is where the fun is. Because recording is work, editing is work, mastering is work, but mixing is fun. This is where your creative side comes out, where you can add your effects, you can add your EQs, you can put your low cuts in, you can do whatever it is that you're trying to let the listeners hear, and what you want them to feel from you, what's inside your head, you want to try to recreate on those tapes. So remember, EQ is subtle, it's not overbearing, it's not overbalanced. It's a blend that brings out the best in the input sound that you're trying to purvey to the consumers.
All right. Frankie has put it down. You guys keep it where you got it, right here on Hip Hop National Radio, the marriage between the recording and the audio mix. I mean, we are getting down into this topic tonight. Y'all stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
You've got 5 minutes? I've got that celebrity interview. Hi, I'm Valder Beebe, host of the Valder Beebe Show. Join me daily for my new brand, That Celebrity Interview. I get the opportunity to chat with the world's most fascinating people. I interview actors and directors and entertainers, celebrities, and everyday people on important topics and issues and life-changing causes. My interviews are authentic, revealing, and personal with my guests, who are in a 21st century mode. They're either in studio, by phone, satellite, or in exotic locations. I've interviewed people in Istanbul, Israel, London, all across the globe. Tune in daily to That Celebrity Interview. Go to ValderBeebeShow.com for broadcast locations of That Celebrity Interview. I'll see you there.
Okay, let's see if you're ready to promote your record. Hot music production? Check. Artwork and artist bio ready? Check. Advertising, marketing, and promotion. Let's begin. Start your buzz right here on Hip Hop National Radio. We're more than just radio. We have an exclusive magazine, a national flyer buddy system, an exclusive artist interview line, and we educate you on the way. And if you're ready, email us your MP3 today to mymp3@hiphopnational.com. Be sure to include the artist name, song title, and contact phone number. And after you email us, give us a call at 877-580-8555. That's 877-580-8555. Hip Hop National Radio, your platform for advertising, marketing, and promotion. Start advertising right here, right now, on Hip Hop National Radio. We're on standby. Email us and give us a call.
Forever Memory Blankets is covering all of your memories. It's as easy as 1, 2, and 3. First, you pick your favorite photo, then select the product type that you would like. It may be a pillow, bag, or a blanket, just to name a few, but nothing starts moving until you pay your money, and then we'll send a finished view created just for you. Log on to www.fmblanket.com. That's www.fmblankets.com. Or you may call 214-403-1524. That's 214-403-1524. Remember, Forever Memory Blankets is covering all of your memories in time. You heard it first right here on the Hip Hop National Radio conference call and feedback line.
This station is a member of BOB, Band of Online Broadcasters, powered by Cloud Radio.
All right, as I said, you're listening to Hip Hop National Radio, the marriage between the recording and the audio mix. But before we get back into that, guys, the purpose of our program is to help bridge the gap between the music community, the music artists, and the music listeners. The way we do that is get you to upload your material at our program.
someone did tell me that they still have a problem. We were able to, I did a testing on it this weekend, and boom, we were able to do some uploads. But just in case you're having upload problems, the email address to send it to is pr@hiphopnational.com. Send us your radio-ready MP3. Get people to request it right here on the program. During the break, I did have a request for Frank and Hatch song, My Brother's Keeper. Just wanted to let you guys know that we know we are paying attention to you getting your 100 to the top so you can get added to our playlist. So keep doing what you're doing, and it is being acknowledged, just to let everyone know. Hip Hop National is doing their thing in the background to make things happen. Y'all stay with us, because right now we're going to Brother Bionic. Bionic, you now have the floor. I know you have something to tell me about this EQ.
Yeah, man. First off, I'm going to just be honest, because that's what we're here for, right?
Oh, you weren't being honest before? No, I'm just messing with
you. I disagree with a few things I've heard. Okay?
Okay.
And the first thing I disagree with, you know, is, you know, Raw Dog, we cool, but I totally disagree with that duplication of the track thing. I totally disagree with it. I just got a session this week from some guys that did that. And one of the biggest issues, or I think one of the biggest misconceptions with that, is that it allows the vocal to become bigger. But we have to keep in mind that the human voice, based on how our vocal cords vibrate, never exactly duplicates itself twice. So when you duplicate a track, all it does is lay itself on top of each other and actually make it louder, because it's just like you're turning it up. If you pan it to the side and turn it down, it's still the same vocal. There's not going to be any depth in there. There's not going to be any fullness there, because it's still one vocal that's been duplicated off of itself. And that's something that I've gone back and forth with artists over the years. And like I said, I actually got one this week that had that exact same issue. You know, what it does do is, like I said, it does make it louder, which gives the illusion that it's clearer. But that then goes into your next question about the EQ. If a vocal is EQ'd properly, you know, regardless of how it's recorded, if a vocal is EQ'd properly, then it will then become clear. And one of the important aspects and one of the important things about learning your EQ curves and learning, you know, what does what and what falls and what frequencies and so on and so forth, as far as vocals, as far as instruments, all that, I definitely agree with that. Because what happens is like you said, you wind up getting what's called a crossover. There's nothing wrong with small crossovers. But when you have, if you have a kick drum, a bass guitar, bass sound, and an 808, they're all fighting for virtually the same space. The average human ear doesn't really generally hear under 40 hertz. The average speaker doesn't go below 40 hertz. But when you have these instruments fighting for the same space, each and every instrument, like my man said, has a sweet spot that allows for certain aspects of that instrument to pop out. If you look at a kick drum, you basically have the thump of the drum. You then have what, you know, is like the beater or the noise part of the drum. And it's a matter of which one do you need at this particular point in time. You know, if you have an 808 running with the kick drum and they're doing the same pattern, well, you know the 808 is going to carry that weight and carry that boom and that bass part. But you may want to hear the attack. You may want to hear that pat, pat, pat on the top of it. So that's when you need to go ahead and filter and EQ that kick the right way, so you wind up hearing the beat of the kick and feel the knock of the 808. And that goes with each and every instrument in your particular track, whatever the case may be. And, you know, even when it's related to vocals, you got to keep in mind that, you know, vocals tend to, a lot of people don't cut vocals high enough. Some people cut them too high. The average vocal, you know, generally, and I'm going to go ahead and throw this out there. Anything under 100 hertz for a vocal generally should be cut out, period. Because anything lower than that is going to be, like my man said, mud, or what me and my people call rumble. And it winds up just being filtered noise that, in the grand scheme of things, if you wind up cutting out everything under 100, regardless of how bad or how much bass you got in the studio or whatever the case may be, your mic set up, whatever, once you cut that 100 and below out, you'll find that your vocal starts to pop out a little bit more. And, of course, you know, each vocal is different. One person may need to cut at this point. Another person may need to cut at this point. I've had records where I've had to cut at a point where I thought it was ridiculous, but it worked. And that's why I say, you know, don't worry about presets. Because even if we're recording a record with anybody, if we're recording a record with you, Poetic, and you're on this big, vibrant, just beat with all these horns and just real super big, and then we record you on a song that's just a drum beat and a piano, you know, on some vintage breakbeat type stuff, your vocal texture is going to be completely different. Because the breakbeat, naturally, you're going to be out there a little bit more because you don't have so much other stuff fighting for the same space, fighting for the same ear. So, you know, I tell a lot of guys, man, if you're dealing in presets, you can use your preset as a starting point, but don't use it as a justifiable mixing point. And EQ is very, very important because that's going to be the cornerstone of almost any and everything you do as far as clarity is concerned. All right, I'm done.
Wow. You just laid that out there, man. I swear, for me, you guys are the technical lyrics of music. It's the technical lyrics of the music. You just paint. Yeah, I'm just listening to you guys, and all you guys are painting a very good picture of what's behind the scene in the technical issues it takes to actually make a song a good song. So that tells me, yes.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to clarify, what I said about the three tracks and doubling the tracks, it doesn't work on everyone. It doesn't work on every vocalist. So you have to pick and choose. And then after you do that, the thing I left out was you have to have the different filters, the nuances, the other programs that will allow you to do things with that person's voice. So I didn't tell it exactly that it fits every case. It will not fit every
case.
Can I
ask you this, guys? So the creative alternative is actually to get them to record it about three or four times.
It depends
on
the song.
They can record it once, twice, if that's what they feel. When I made the statement was on certain tracks, vocal tracks, you can take that lead vocal and you then, within your program when you're mixing it, duplicate that exact track two more times, okay? So what happens is that you have a left and a right on a low, and you have a center where it's going left and right, and it's on a louder. But that center track is the one that you treat, and you do certain things to it. Now, see, I'm not giving away that magic. That costs me money. But there are things that you add to that voice, whereas the other tracks will bring out a flow and a level of that main vocalist's voice, whereas through your automation of those tracks and what have you, you will have nuances within your music that will give more of a presence of that lead vocalist. It does not work on every track that has a vocalist. Okay? I mean, there are some that it just doesn't fit. And there are those that do. See, now, I happen to be a romantic, so we produce a lot more romantic songs. And, you know, when you get the voice in that's the a cappella and what have you, you know, as people know, there are dropouts and what have you within the vocalist's abilities. Well, I've been able to do some magic and enhance that and create that warmth and the fullness, you know. So, see, I do understand, and when I made that statement, I didn't say it applies to every main vocal that you get, because some it won't work, and he's right on that, and I do agree. I apologize for leaving that one little thing out. That's not apply on all.
That's all right, my man. That's all right. Let's bring in a caller who just called in. 215-806, please state your name, where you're calling in from, and what's your contribution to tonight's topic based on what you've heard?
My name is Tyrone. I'm from Glenside, PA, originally from South Philly. All the information that was given was pretty much intact from what I know. I'm not a specialist in recording, but I've been connected to Thunderlight Productions, and I think that experience, long-term experience, helps the new and upcoming artists.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Tyrone. I appreciate you.
Have a good night,
stay with us. Also, I'm going back to Ken. Ken, what's your thoughts, sir?
I wanted to add in something on his comment about it took me a while. It took a while for it to come to me, which artist that did do like what he was doing with the three-track thing was Minnie. Can I name an artist? Minnie Riperton.
Yes.
She used the exact same thing. She sure did. It just came to me because she had that range of voice. Because anytime you use like EQ on the voice, it's supposed to be between what, 4 kilohertz to 6 kilohertz, something like that, in the prints, you know. And it's very few vocalists that can do that. That's the reason why, you know, you have to find the right, it depends on the vocalist to do that. You have to be a strong vocalist.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot there. Ken, I'm going to go to our brother Hatch. Hatch, what's your thoughts?
Hey. This has been interesting. I think to clear this debate, from what I see from both of the brothers, I have to say, just like Raw Dog said, and what he said, when you're layering voices, the only thing you're doing, what we call it in the terminology in the studio, we just call it that. When you start layering vocals, we call it making it fat. So like you said, it just to make the voice sound more fuller. If a person have a thin voice, it's good, especially to use for falsettos and tenor, because their frequencies in their voice is a lot thinner. But going back to what I said earlier, and that's why I was smiling, that when we start to get into the mixing part of it, I think all of us going to have different ideas and different comments and methods of mixing. Because like Frankie D said earlier, when it comes to the mixing, that's the fun part. Like I said, that's the creational part of the recording, where it's experimentational. You know, you get the opportunity to test your sounds, your effects, and see what work and what don't work. But the blessing in your mixing is that while you're experimenting and you're creating a vision in your mind and in your ear of what you want to hear, you know, that if you don't like it, you can start all over again. That's why I even though we're getting into the mixing part, that's why I said we'd debate on that part all night long. But I just want to go back to the recording source because, you know, I always say out of all of our topics that I always bring out and my logo is you're only as strong as your weakest link, you know. So the basic thing that I want everybody to understand that listening tonight, I don't care what you do with your mixing. I say like Raw Dog, there's no really to a point, you know, there's really no right way or wrong way because a lot of things that you hear in the music today was because of a mistake, you know, not something that somebody was purposely doing. They probably mix something, put in an EQ or an effect on something, you know, that really you're not supposed to do, as they, you know, say. But then again, if it works and it sounds good, hey, you know, like back in the day in the studio, you didn't put flanges on hi-hats, for example. You know, now these days and time, you know, you can put a flange on a hi-hat. You know, you can put a delay on a kick, a bass. You know, you can put a chorus on a bass, you know. But going back to the recording, I just want to emphasize, because like Frankie D said a minute ago, that is the work. And if you're not willing to put in the work, I don't care how much you want to play, that make Jax a dull boy, you know. So only thing I'm going to go back to the recording before you get into the mixing is to have a quality recording. Just remember, when we're talking about the EQ, if you look at most mixing boards, most of them will have between 3 or 4 knobs because we only in 3 ranges. We in our mid-range, you know, we in our low range, and we're in our high range. Like I said, when it comes to the vocals and everything, mostly everything within the vocals is going to be between 22 to 44 hertz, you know. A big mistake we make in recording, like I said, the guy that just liked what he hear, and it was something mentioned ago about frequency. You remember the commercials where when the opera singer sings so high she can break a glass, you know, or the dog can hear sounds that the human can't hear, or just like an earthquake or a soul woofer, you ever know that you can feel it, but like Frankie D said, you can't hear it, you know. So that's why I say it's very important to know your EQs, especially when you record it, because if you're putting a frequency in there below 40 hertz, on your soul woofer, because you like a lot of booming in your bass when you hear it in your car and stuff like that. What you can possibly be doing is putting frequencies in there that's so low that the human ear can't hear. But now what you're doing is just sound frequencies alone, just like an earthquake. You've heard basses when it came by, and your windows rattling and your glasses shaking on your shelves and stuff like that, you know. So that's why I say it's very important to understand EQ and understand the frequencies of EQ for all your instruments. And another thing that I'm going to suggest when you come into recording, make sure that is the most quietest space when we're going back to the studio. Make sure that is the quietest space, especially when it comes to vocals, that you can have. Make it as soundproof as possible, because whatever comes on the recording is very important to understand. You can't take it out in the mix. So whatever you record is there. And the last thing I say, and I shut up, that I just want to share with Raw Dog and the other brother that made me laugh, the experimentation that came into making the music fat. The first person that experimented with that was Quincy Jones on Michael Jackson's first album. That's what made his mix and his sound so much stronger and powerful than the recordings that was coming out in the time. That was one of Quincy Jones' secrets. So like I said, the way you use it and how you use it, it can work When it can't work, it can give and it can take away. And I end on that tip.
What a better time to segue right over to Ken Ross talking about Michael Jackson. Ken Ross, you can now have the floor.
Yeah, he was one of the greatest performers. Goes all the way back and everything. And me coming from Gary and there being pretty close to him and everything. He was one of the, he's like the Bruce Lee of music, because what Bruce Lee did, I don't want to get off the subject or anything like that. What he did, he gathered everybody's fighting style. Michael Jackson, he gathered everybody's musical style and dancing. And this is what made him one of the greatest artists ever.
Yep. Okay. And then we're going to move on to Frankie.
Okay, I'm listening to everything that's being said, and I have to disagree with the first brother who disagreed with Roald Dahl. I just think you have to understand one thing that about the music business. Hold up. Don't get into that part. But the thing is, everything, like Roald Dahl said, doesn't fit everybody. It's the genre of the music that you try to make this effect possible work. Because I've used it back in the day, which we called in the studio technical term is spin-offs. But the effect that that creates is what we call flanging. Because, like the first brother said, which was true, is that each vocal cord has its own vibration and frequency, so they're not going to match up. So the effect that you're trying to create in that process is called flanging, because they play off of each other. But it only works in certain cases. I found that that works better in the background vocal sense if you're trying to really fatten up the background, which back in the day before we had harmonizer machines and things like that, you would have to do each track yourself and record them on the individual track and then blend them all together to get that effect, and it's called a spin-off. That's the technical term. So in a sense, both of them are right, you know, because like Brother Hatch said, you know, depending on what you're trying to create, there's really no one way that's right for everybody. One size does not fit all when it comes to those certain techniques. So if it works, great. If it doesn't, fine. But remember, your recording is only going to be as good as the source going in. So if you have a lead vocalist who can reproduce what she did or he did on the first take and do that three or four times, then it would work excellently because you won't hear much of that flanging effect. But that's just one aspect, and that's just the effects aspect of it. I found that it works better in the background vocals. But it does work. And the effect and the sound gets that fullness, that fatness that people like to hear. As far as the frequency and the hertz that where people can hear and what they can't hear is vital, because you have a noise floor and then you have a peak range where things can distort out. So it's very important to know your frequencies and know the sources of the material that you're dealing with so that you can have the cleanest mix possible where everything where it's supposed to be heard can be heard. Like Raw Dog said, nowadays we have the surround mixes. You have 5.1, 7.1, which is what I'm into right now with the 7.1. I love it because it gives you that freedom where you can take the small nuances and you can just send effects to two speakers where there's nothing but the effects, and gives you that range of depth and fullness that you hear when you're looking at a movie or when you're listening to a real good recording, you know. So no one is really saying anything that's incorrect. So I would just say, you know, if it works, does it. Because remember, this is the fun part. This is the creative part. This is the part where you're trying to do something, like Hat said, a lot of times it's a mistake. But sometimes these mistakes turn out to be the next new piece of equipment that everybody wants to have, you know. So just keep in mind, fellas, you know, when we're giving out this information to people, because there's nothing really wrong. It's just what you're trying to get down. There's really nothing wrong. And that's before we go into the break. I'm going to end it right there.
All right. You're pretty good there, Frank. There you go. I got to give it to you. Thanks, man, for allowing me to segue right into the break.
guys, the reason why Hip Hop National do this is to help you put your project in front of some of the ears of this business. So definitely send in your music, www.hiphopnational.com. Upload your music with Maximize Your Exposure. Again, if you have issues or technical issues, our email address is pr@hiphopnational.com. Just to let everybody know, Spreaker, I don't know if you guys know that we've expanded our platform. Very important that you do know. We've expanded the platform with Spreaker, and we're looking at other platforms to also spread our wings, to widen our base for all that get involved. So y'all keep it locked and loaded right here. Don't go nowhere. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
MEC 2012.
In India, every month, 100,000 children die of starvation and violence. In a town called Tanuku, we have an orphanage called Nirakshana Children's Home. Nirakshana means hope. The orphanage presently provides a safe haven for 30 children who have come from poverty-stricken backgrounds, abandoned by society and isolated. At Nirakshana, they have shelter, food, companionship, but most of all, hope. Please look deeply within yourselves as we need your help to ensure that the ministry of Nirakshana grows and prospers. $8 a month is not a fortune, but collectively it becomes huge, allowing us to transform the lives of these children. Take the time to browse our website. Nirakshana, that's NIRIEKSHANA.net. A big thanks to Hip Hop National Radio and Hip Hop National Magazine for helping us reach a global audience.
Hi, this is Pastor Chris Willingham, founder and pastor of Crimson Line Ministries Atlanta. We are so excited about a new strategic partnership between Crimson Line Ministries and Hip Hop National Radio. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, and every time zone in between, we're going to be reaching out to a new global community with a message of the Kingdom of God, a word that will encourage you and give you the tools you need to use your God-given gifts and your passions to inspire and encourage others. This is the point where the music community and the Kingdom of God come together to begin transforming our homes, our cities, and our nation. Please join us this Sunday night and every Sunday night as we begin this mighty move of God. God bless.
You know what?
It's your boy Pit Boss, Cash Guerrilla Records. I'm all about supporting the WEW Foundation, which is a non-profit organization for the battered and abused women, men, and children in all communities. Now I want y'all to call in and request my hot new single, Do It Big, and big ups to Hip Hop National Radio, and keep it locked right here. It's your boy Pit Boss.
Industry professionals, have you been looking for an outlet to get your music heard? Hip Hop National Radio and HipHopNational.com, your digital service provider to get the best music first. Pop, rock, jazz, R&B, gospel, and etc. All genres of music with a hip-hop twist. This is your chance to get it first and stay on top of the competition. HipHopNational.com is for you. Log on now.
This station is a member of VOB, Band of Online Broadcasters, powered by Cloud Radio.
All right, we're back. We are talking about the marriage between the recording and the audio mix. But before we go back into the topic, I do need to make a statement for everybody. Hip Hop National is that bridge between the music industry, the music artists, and the music listeners. Now, on a program such as tonight, this is a good time to highlight your music on this section of the program, because we have an engaged audience and on the most part, industry professionals that come on our program. That's when you highlight your song over the program during the breaks. It actually serves as an advertisement for you, and it's also opening you up for an interview on the program. If you're interested, just call us at 954-461-3398. Again, the number is 954-461-3398. Looking
for looking to connect with you and get you started on the program. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. We're back to the topic. And what I wanted to go into asking you guys is when it comes to normalization and how often should you use it? And should it be normalized throughout? Should you normalize an entire track? I'm going to start with you, Raw Dog. I saw you raise your hand. Bam. You
well, now let me say this. Every song, they're all different. If we were mixing and mastering the same songs, I'm sure that Hatch, Frank, Bionic, you'd hear three different mixes, okay? There's no wrong or right. It's all experimentation, you know. And you know, it's funny because what works on one doesn't work on another. You mentioned normalization. It works on some. It doesn't work on others. I don't like it. There are other ways to do it. I mean, you know, and so, you know, it's like you're Dr. Frankenstein, and you can either create a monster or you can create a beautiful work of art. It can go either way. And so when you start to say something like normalize, well, okay, yeah, no. You know, there are different programs that they have out for mixing and mastering that add things such as, you know, imaging, which is the stereo spread of it. You know, there's what they call, you know, harmonic boosts. You know, there's you have equalizers, you have reverbs, you have, you know, maximizers. See, so when you say normalizers, maximizers, these are all different terms for different equipment. That plug-ins, if you're doing it on the computer, which most of us are, that, you know, you experiment with. It might work on something, and it might not work on something else. And then it also depends upon the ear of the person that's mixing it. Because, you see, to me, normalizing just seems to make it all come together as a glob. It doesn't, you don't have that, you don't have the highs, you don't have the mids, you don't have the lows. It just seems to just kind of clump it all together, you know. But if that's your ear and it sounds good to you, okay. But then I'm not going to bring something to you to mix because
let me tell you something, bro. I'm not there yet. I'm here hosting the show, and it's not about me. It's about asking you questions.
But we can tell by you asking that one question.
I don't even want to argue with you. I'm just saying.
But see, that, you know, that's the funny part about it is that we all have a different way of hearing music.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell a good person that is qualified to do the mixing for you when you listen to something they've already done, and you can hear different things in it. You can hear the fidelity, you can hear the separation and what have you. Because you see, in recording, all of that's not there. The artists or the musicians that are in the session realize they don't hear it like that when they're recording it. So, you know, when you can bring a product out and say, well, I did this, and you can hear those things, you then can say to yourself, oh, that the guy that's going to mix this, he's qualified. He's like a good surgeon. He knows the different individual enhancements to put in there to bring out certain instrumentation and what have you. And then that's another thing. Before you mix something down, you know what's in that to be mixed. I mean, you know the instrumentation and what have you. You know, the pen is mighty because, it, you know, you're taking something that not necessarily that you recorded, but you're taking something and you go, okay, it has a bass, it has a drums, it has a guitar, it has an organ, it has a lead vocalist background. So you know these individual parts are there. And then at that point, you go looking for them. You go and you bring them in, you bring them out, and you mix them in a way that, just like Pat said, like a meal, like a chef, you know, with a smile on your face.
And he laid that out. Didn't Hatch paint the picture there?
Yeah, but you know what? That was real. Because that's the way a mix is. And sometimes when you're cooking a meal, depending on your attitude, it can go wrong. So he was totally right on that, you know. The wonderful thing is that you can start over and it doesn't from the beginning again. You know, most mistakes turn out beautiful. That's the funny part about things, you know. People that mix and do this type of thing, they have so many plug-ins, they don't know which one is going to respond correctly to that he's trying to work on at that time. You know, it's
until
something
he tests,
that
to he or she tests it.
Well, yeah,
that's what it sounds
and
like.
And then you know, okay. You got to look at T-Pain. The funny part about it is that Auto-Tune was out before T-Pain. No one else tried it except for Cher. And he took it, and for some reason it loved his voice. Now, I've heard other people try to do the same thing.
How about the guy who did Computer Love?
No, well, no, that was a talk box.
Yeah.
That is a tube with an instrument coming, and your mouth then forms it going back through the microphone. We got one of them in the studio, and let me try to tell you something. But it's he put in a lot of time to master that one. I'm going to tell you, he really did. But the thing about it is, T-Pain's voice, the auto-tune loved it. Now I've heard people try to do it and do it and do it and do it, but it's not loving their voice like it loved T-Pain. And, you know, I think the other producers will say the same thing. They've heard other people on Auto-Tune, but it doesn't love them. You know, and these are the things that you have to understand. You know, everything in a song, all songs are different. Different instrumentations, they're different. And so it's an experiment. And you can go wrong, and then you go back, and, you know, you make a mistake, and then it goes right. So you got to be scared.
He's right. To be honest, most of the time, this stuff is an experiment. Just when you think you got it all figured out, somebody brings you another piece of jacked-up music. you have to take... One thing that I'm very, very adamant about when people bring me their stuff is you have to have a reference point. And this is what me and you were talking about the other day. You have to have a reference point. Number one, you have to know your gear. You have to know your equipment. You have to know your speakers. If you don't know your speakers, you know, if you have a set of speakers that may have a boost, you know, all companies try to say, oh, these monitors are flat. Ain't no monitors flat. Some of them, you know, break at a certain point. Some of them are a little bit boxier than others. Some of them have a boosted low end. Some of them have a shelf low end. It's very, you know, each speaker is different. So what you have to do is you have to listen to your speakers and listen to the music that's out. Listen to the music that's popular. Listen to the music that's getting all this radio rotation, because those are the records that most people are going to try to either mimic or direct your attention to on a mix. After that, then I ask them, I say, okay, I listen to the song and I try to find a reference point. So if it's a song with a whole bunch of big horns, 808s and stuff like that, I'm going to go try to find a couple of records that sound like that. Not just one record, not just two records, a few records. Because I'm listening to how these guys interpreted that, how these guys gelled that together, what the vocals sounded like. You know, and these guys may be recording in a $1 million studio, and this guy might have recorded in his bedroom. There's nothing wrong with that. but then I have to take his wall vocal and try my best to make it cut through the same way a Drake vocal does or a Rick Ross vocal does or so on and so forth. So you have to, you know, it, like you said, it's an experimentation because you have to have a knowledge base before you can go in. You know, earlier we were talking about giving away tricks of the trade. And the thing is in all honesty, every one of us on the panel could give away a trick that somebody may try and fail because they may just go, for example, you were just talking about formalizing. Yeah, I don't normalize either. Normalizing is not something I do. It's not something I approve of or anything like that. But at the same time, if you do normalize, you have to realize that there are steps to stuff. You know, there are ways of adding in, you know, certain plugins have wet dry signals, you know, so you have to understand how to balance that out so it's not fully blown out, so it's not fully out of proportion. With compressors, you got to make sure that you're not squashing something unless that's what you're trying to do. But a lot of times normalization takes the vibe out of the record. It takes the spark out of the record, the emotion and the feel, because it takes, you know, the highest point, or depending on how it's set, it takes the highest point and pushes that to zero, or it takes the lowest point, pushes that to zero, and everything around it is affected. And when that happens, it totally loses the dynamic of the record. So,
right, Bob.
You know, it's all experimentation, like he said, and knowing your stuff.
All right, I'm going to cut you short for a minute because we got a few minutes and we're going to be winding down. I'm going to take a brief break, and we'll be right back in just a second. When we come back, what I want to know is, because I want to hurry up through this jungle of the mix for a reason, so I can get it down to the nuts and bolts of how I can better communicate as a music artist talking to the mixing engineer. When we come back, let's talk about the musical terms and expression. And I was just listening to you, Bionic. You lay a lot of those terms in the way you talk. I want to know how we as artists can better communicate to the mixing engineer. We'll be back in just a moment.
This hip-hop national, let's give them what they asking for. This hip-hop national, let's give them what they asking for. This hip-hop national, let's give them what they asking for. This hip-hop national, this hip-hop national.
If you gon' play to win and you want some major sins, this where you need to be 3 days a week from 8 to 10. This hip-hop national, where everybody got a voice. And if you want to hear...
I told you it wouldn't be long. We're right back right now. Heated and loaded. Frank, starting with you. Give me 3 to 4 musical terms that you can think of that can help us as music artists better communicate to the mixing engineers. I'm just going to start it off with some of the things that Bionic said: wet, dry, big. Those are some good inflections of words that can be used in communicating with the mixing engineer. Do you agree?
Like I said earlier, no one is giving incorrect information. But I have to go back to tell you guys, normalization is only done in the mastering phase. Normalization basically is where your overall gain is achieved. In other words, if you're making a CD or an album and you have different producers who are contributing to your album, the goal of normalization is to make each track on the same level as the one before it. So that basically deals with, we're talking about gain, we're talking about Dolbies, we're talking about 0.0 Dolbies and expanding or contracting that. Now, I just wanted to say that as far as what normalization is, it's not done on the mixing side. It's done on the mastering side. Now, some of the terms that was used as far as wet is when you add effects. That's when you take a flat signal, you add reverb or any effect, whether it could be delay, echoes, reverb, gates, vocoders, delays and reverbs, whatever you want to add on there, you know. Dry is when there's nothing added to it. Some of the other terms that you need to know is compression. Compression is when you want to squeeze things down, like brother said earlier, it's usually done on live instrumentations like bass and drums. Then you have what we call limiting. Limiting is when you take that same sound and you want to get into the low cuts and the high cuts, where you got a frequency where you have a clip, you have a hard clip, and you have a low clip. I'm just trying to be brief because I don't want to take up all the time.
I appreciate that very much, Frank.
Some of the other terms that you have to get familiar with is your balances, is your drives, is your digital radiance generators. You know, there's so many things that on the engineer side, if you want the engineer to purvey or perceive what you want to come across, it's good to know those terms. And I'm just saying that in the brief context because I want everybody else to get in there. But tonight, like I said, all you guys are on point, man. I love you guys, Hip Hop National Radio. You guys are going national, national, national. Feel me.
832-504, I see you raise your hand. Do you have a statement or comment that based on what you've heard tonight?
Yes, sir. Mr. Poetic, how you doing this evening? I was just calling to thank all of the participants tonight, Mr. R.D., Mr. Ken, Mr. Bionis, Mr. Frank and Hatch. And as a music appreciator, I just want to say that last week's show and this week's show was so informative. It was, as I shared with a friend of mine, that it was like I was sitting in a college class getting a pre-education, you know, without having to pay for the course, you know, and other than my time. So I just sincerely want to thank all the gentlemen that, you know, wholeheartedly share their information and their knowledge with us. And with that, I'd just like to say, if I can tell you one other thing is that Brother Hatch was describing the meals. And I can honestly say that, you know, the first time I heard Frank and Hatch's song, I said, man, this sounds like gumbo. You know, it sounds like a bowl of gumbo. You know, I'm from Texas, so, you know, that's the only thing I could identify because it was so flavorful and so fulfilling, and all it made me want to do was get another bowl, you know. So,
okay.
I
appreciate that, man. I'm going to have to keep it brief because we got to run down to the next person.
Okay.
I wanted to let you guys know what he was describing was Frank and Hatch's song, Brothers Keeper. So y'all request it right here on Hip Hop National. I'm going to give them that plug because they come in a lot to help contribute to the topic. So let's go ahead and keep it moving. We're going to go to Ken. Ken been sitting off in the cut in a minute. Ken, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, it pays to be versatile, you know, knowing the music as well, knowing theory, harmony. That helps out a lot. And like the caller said about the education part, you can't go wrong with education because a little bit of education goes a long way, just like the experience and knowing your equipment.
Awesome. All right, awesome. So let's go to Bionic. Bionic, paint me a picture of some of those terms that I might be using as an artist to communicate to the mixing engineer. You got four.
As an artist, I'd say, and not to, you know, try to diss anybody or anything, most artists don't know the technical aspect, but it's all about communication with you and your engineer. If you say, I want something a little bit more orange, and your engineer knows what you're talking about, that's great communication. But on the basic end, you know, just keep it basic. If something that sounds muddy, like the man said earlier, muddy, bassy, tell somebody you want something more crisp, more sizzle, you know, you want it to bang more, you want it, you know, you want it a little bit smoother, you want it, you know, just keep it basic. And a good engineer may kind of have to think on it for a second, but they'll be able to interpret it, and then they'll let you know how to communicate with them individually.
Terms that I've personally kind of heard when I was into recording segments, definitely wet. I've heard syrupy. I've heard sparkle, a little bit more sparkle. You just mentioned one, sizzle. I've heard raunchy, you know, and I've just seen words that can help us as artists to communicate a little bit better to the engineer, because a lot of times we're just not informed and we don't know what to say or how to say it to our engineers. So that's why I wanted to go kind of hurry through this jungle a little bit and get to this point. So definitely, Frank, did I just talk to Frank? Yeah, I did. Rodolph.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to say there are terms like punch, dynamics. There's, you know, my philosophy is try it, see how it sounds, let it go. But see, you know, the funny part about it is that, you know, once you get some type of explanation from the artist of what he's trying to hear more in his voice, you know, because things have different terminologies in different programs. You know, there's what an exciter, you know, there's, you know, there's the EQ, you know, there's the shape. See, you know, so the funny part about this, you know, when you start talking about the different terminology, I think you should the artist shouldn't even try to give an interpretation unless he's going to then become the person mixing it. Because you got to have hands-on if you're going to try to communicate with somebody that's engineering, because, see, they only understand what they have to work with. And everybody doesn't have the same tools. They're called different things, you know, in different programs. It's unfortunate, you know, but the industry leaders use either Pro Tools or Logic or Cubase or Sonar. So basically there, you know, we have, you know, similar but with different names, you know. That's the same as, you know, a mixing program. You know, there's one that I can think of at this point. You know, which is
Rodolph.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to limit your time, and I'm gonna say this before I limit your time. Could we agree to disagree? I think the artist should know as much as he need to know to communicate with the engineer for one reason: it's growth for the artist, and a growth. In education is something what we have to do all along in our life, no matter if it's musically or business. Anything we're trying to do, we have to grow. So to say he shouldn't try to communicate, I disagree.
But see, there's the catch to it. That one catch you just said is going to cost him money, because he's going to take the time up and not get what he's really trying to get. I mean, you know.
Well, maybe he should ask it at another time. Maybe he shouldn't ask it at another time. But there's many times that I personally have been in the studio and I didn't understand what they meant by wet back in the days.
Okay,
but
see, guess what?
Because I asked
and you know what you should have done?
I was able to communicate that in future projects.
Yeah,
that's
but see,
very important.
Guess what? Now I would suggest the artist go online and download the manuals to some of these programs, and that will explain
certain things. There's nothing wrong with suggesting that, but
there's
nothing wrong with us explaining it to them and getting it out, because we're a different kind of program.
Yeah, but guess what? See,
everybody
then when he goes to the engineer, he'll know
everybody
what program he's working with, and he can ask for those things.
Okay. Hatch, we're going to finish up with you. What's your thoughts?
Okay, well, most of
you know what time it is.
Okay, I'll end it up real quick. Okay, I'll just exit out real quick. I'll just say, first of all, I just want to thank Frank with the normalization, Chicago. Just say, if you're normalizing while you're recording and mixing, you already got a problem. Like he said, that's a master. But to go back to some words, I say go back to the basic recording, and you're going to hear words like standby, cut, punch in, punch out, count off, and that's a wrap.
Love it how we finished it. Guys, you only get it like this right here on Hip Hop National Radio. This is a free education. We aim to educate, and why don't you help us? Anybody you know who's connected in this industry, feed them through this line. Let them know what we're doing here. It is important. We are growing we're growing the music community one person at a time. And educating our youth is a part of our program, along with advertising for our youth. Very important part of the platform is to get you out there and spread your name as much as we possibly can. We have created entities to make that happen. This radio show, we have our magazine. In fact, my magazine editor has been listening locked and loaded for the with this program, so I know. I'm just letting you guys know we are looking to help raise the bar with you, alongside of you. We got several different things to assist you in that. Go to www.hiphopnational.com. Check out what we have. Contact me, if you could, 954-461-3398. I'm giving you my number directly, 954-461-3398. Right off. I know you guys, and Dr. A.T., I know you guys are ready to take it away. Take it away.
What's up, guys, and welcome to Hip Hop National Rails in the Mix with Dr. A.T. I'm your host, Dr. A.T. Now let's get this party cracking. First up, Big Moochie with a new hotline club dance called Baka Shuffle.
Hey, I need everybody to report to the dance floor right now for this one here, baby. Uh-oh, it's Big Moochie, baby.
Big Moochie.
Omen's MC.
Omen.
Hey, check this out. I got this new live dance hustle, you hear me? Just going out to all my bikers all across the world. We gon' call this here the Biker Shuffle.
Let's go. Now walk into your ride. Now move it on up, move it on up. Now walk into your leg. Now bring it on back, bring it on back. Now kick, with it, kick, with it. Hop out in, now kick.
And the next song is going to be by Miss Tiffany, Get Money.
On deck, same OG, I wanna know.
Tell me what you dream, girl. Yo, tell me what it is that you dream, girl.
Tell me, baby.
Roscoe Fettuccine.
Same OG.
Yo, G, I got you, homie.
I see you, Roscoe.
Fetty Gang official.
Fetty Gang.
We work.
G Music Entertainment.
Yo, let's go.
Next on deck is LD History.
Kill your perception and share my history. Kill it. Tell about it. Tell you a few things you may not know about me. Like I was born on the West Coast, exactly where the sun set. Rolled out the room full of life and I defeated their parents. Got a divorce, now we moving to the Jack. Bob Phoenix, Arizona, guess there's no coming back. Raised in Mississippi, is this what life's about? Slow motion round here, I think it's best I leave out. I'm falling in my dreams, but I stayed on my ground. I'm on the sunny South Dallas, where the sun never shines. Didn't stay long, once again I'm on my way. Got a Georgia on my mind, so I'm headed to the A. With my big sister, and she living in Decatur. Soon as I touch down, like, baby girl, see you later. Have to keep it moving, don't trip, that's my nature. Now people throwing jabs, trying to say I'm unstable. No more running from my problems, this time I'm fine. First class to be exact, to the south side shot. When I first arrived, they observed my whole style. Speak my moral, wow, my southern hospital. With peace, plus they can hear it in my speech. All the brothers feel records, now the city claim me. That's why I talk down south, Midwest D's. I'm the one, my number four, and got connects in all three. People often ask which region I like best. Tell at least you know why I fly southwest. With each place, I salute the man at the street. Whether here on the track, low, so poetically. I could say I'm one, but I'll leave it as a D. When you give too much, then the people might flee. Just thought that I would share a little brief summary. Help you to get to know a little more about me. Help you to get to know a little more about me, yeah. Let me heal your perception and share my history. Tell you a few things you may not know about me, like. Let me heal your perception and share my history. Tell you a few things you may not know about me, like.
Dungeon Jones and Boxman, hashtag player.
I got two from the city, three from the country, four in the club right now that wanna hug me. Five on the west coast, six on the east coast, 24/7 whenever they wanna love me. Each one of them wish they'd call me. They know they can't, so they call me. Hashtag player, hashtag player. Call me, hashtag player.
I got two up in him, why they both like to get high? They all spinning face.
Next on deck is Shergi, Lovely Day. Next song is going to be by Mike Militia, Feel So Good.
Feel so good when your phone ringing all day, non-stop. Don't coop it Dr. AT, ER Crew.
Let's go, go, go. Step for me, and I'ma flow for you. So that's what we gon' do. Let's go, now they flow. Gotta dance, it's two-step doubles. We can take it slow, so incredible. Now they flow. You know I'm ready to go with two-step doubles. But I'ma take it slow. Now they flow. We on cruise control. You know it's on my mind. Yeah, that's my date. She got a mean dribble game. Still rock big shoes and procrastinate. I love when she wraps around and make a fatty shake. She love when I do step while I'm sipping my drink. You know I gotta have a dark color cup of pink. Cuban link. She got a bad juice. Only got one shot, so I'm ready to sling. See on the dance floor and I'm doing my thing. I'm in my own damn world, homie, stay in your lane. So that dollar bill ain't the only thing that rings. Now you two-step for me, and I'ma flow for you. So that's what we gon' do. So let's do. Take it slow, so incredible. You know I'm ready to go. Now they flow. The two-step double. I'm so out of control. Like Damon Letterman, yeah, it's my show. Now they flow. Yeah, the bad dude. Baby girl, say hi. I wanna see you getting loose, coming out your clothes. I wanna see your booty high, so touch your toes. Now they flow. Let it wiggle a little bit. Drop it low. I'm so super cool. Got the flow so super smooth. Get love all night. Now they go. Just do what it do. So I'ma do what I does. Now they about to take the party over another side of the club. Just want some love. Some say I'm a stud. I'm no amateur. I'm all extra. Come on. Come on, sexy, you know I gotta get ya. It's two-step double, now you two-step for me. And I'ma flow for you. So that's what we gon' do. So let's do. We can take it slow, so incredible. You know I'm ready to go with two-step double. When they play this in the club, you gotta go, go, go.
Hey guys, you know this is the part of the show we gotta be going off. Before I go, I just wanna let you guys know out here for all the artists that did not hear the submissions tonight, I want you to do is this. If you got your mixes ready, all you gotta do is go to www.hiphopnationalradio.com and send your mix into us. But remember, the language and the content need to be right. I'll see you guys next time. God bless. This is Dr. Ray T in the mix for Hip Hop National Radio.
Now you know who I am. Now you know who I be. Now you know I got at least 1,000 that's rolling with me.
HipHopNational.com.
Thanks for coming along for the ride for another tour through the new music industry on Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio. Hip Hop. Hip Hop.